Can I ask you now to turn in your Bible, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, and to the fifth chapter. We're going to read from the first verse. Let us hear the word of God. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we'll end our reading there at the verse 11, praying that God again will stamp with his divine blessing this reading from his inspired, infallible, and holy word. Let's bow briefly in prayer as we seek now the blessing of God upon the preaching of his word. Pray with me. Our gracious and our eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence that we are enjoying already. Thank thee for answered prayer and drawing nigh and meeting with us. And we pray that as we turn now to thy truth, that thou wilt open up thy word to us. Come, Lord, thyself, be our teacher. We want a word from God. O Lord, undertake for me. Fill me with thy spirit. Make me thy mouthpiece. Speak to us all. For Lord, sweet is thy voice. O my sheep, hear my voice. And they follow me. O give us hearing ears. Give us obedient hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to direct your attention this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and to the verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. One of the principles of biblical interpretation is that we are to take the Bible literally where we can, unless doing so creates an absurdity. Let us then apply this principle to our text. Are we to take this text literally, or figuratively and spiritually? If we take it literally, this would mean then that we should never sleep, because the text says, let us not sleep. If we were to take it literally, then the meaning of Paul would be that we should never allow ourselves to lie upon our beds and sleep. You can see that taking this text literally creates an absurdity. These words are then to be understood in a spiritual sense. We must not, however, lose sight of the allusion to what happens when we physically sleep. And when we look at our Bible and consider what it has to say in regards to sleep, the Bible has, as far as I can see, at least three things for us to note. The Bible speaks of natural sleep. There are references in our Bible to that natural state of rest during which our consciousness to this world is suspended. For example, in the book of Esther, in the chapter 6 and in the verse 1, we read, "On that night could not the king sleep." Even King Ahasuerus, with all his power and with all the wealth that he had at his disposal, could not command sleep. Even monarchs have sleepless nights. So the reference there is just to that, what we might call natural phenomenon of sleep. Over in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, the verse 38, there is a record there of our Savior sleeping as he crosses the Sea of Galilee on a little ship. That text reads, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow." I am aware that those professional medics who specialize in sleep and in sleep disorders, despite having spent a lifetime in the study of sleep processes, tell us that there are still mysteries which surround the processes that are involved in sleeping. But let me just throw out or leave before you an even greater mystery in relation to sleep. We have just read, or I've just highlighted, how that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, was asleep there on a pillow as he crossed the Sea of Galilee. Oh, the mystery of the Incarnation. The Son of God asleep on a pillow. Contemplate that. The Bible also speaks of the sleep of the body in the grave. Is that not what Daniel is referring to, and of the subsequent resurrection of the body from the grave, when we have those words recorded in the book that bears his name, Daniel 12, and in the verse 2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Is Daniel there not speaking of the rest and the repose of the body that remains there in the grave until that last trump sounds and they are awakened from their slumber? Is that not the emphasis, really, that the Apostle Paul is making in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the verses 51 and 52, those familiar words? "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Yes, not only shall not all of us die, but not all there shall be found lying, resting. Our mortal remains resting there in the grave in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Is he not speaking there of that great day of awakening, when the dead at that last trump shall hear his voice and shall come forth? This is a reference to the resurrection of the body. The Bible as well speaks of the sleep of death or of death itself as a sleep. Consider the death of Lazarus in John chapter 11, just the verses 11 through to 13. These things said he. And after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So sleep there, again, is portrayed in the Bible, or used in the Scriptures to speak to us of death. Having made those general observations and how the Bible refers to sleep, let us now turn to our text and note the spiritual dangers of sleeping. There are really two main things that I want to leave before you from this text of Scripture today. And the first is the declaration that sinners are asleep. Read the text with me again, please. Let us not sleep as do others. Note that do is in italics in our authorized version here. The word is not there in the original Greek. Simply read the text then. Let us not sleep as others. Let us not sleep as others do. Others are asleep, said Paul. Paul is drawing a contrast here between saints and sinners. The us refers not only to Paul and to Silvanus and to Titus, but to the believers there in the church in Thessalonica. And if you take the time to read this verse in its context, you will discover here that Paul is making a clear distinction between those who are the children of light and those who are the children of darkness. He makes a clear distinction between those who are of the day, children of the day, and those who are children of the night. For example, there in the previous verse, he says, making this distinction, ye are all the children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Let us not sleep as others. That is, as the children of darkness, as those who are the children of the night. In doing so, Paul is declaring here that the sinner is one who is spiritually asleep. There are others here who, in contrast to the children of the light and the children of the day, are asleep. In a spiritual sense, then what does it mean that sinners are asleep? Well, we get the answer to that by thinking about what happens when we are in a state of sleep. What happens when we sleep? Well, when we are asleep, we are inactive. Physical activity ceases when we sleep. The most active person in the world becomes inactive. All physical activity or effort ceases. All activity ceases. Is that not a picture of the state, of the spiritual state of the sinner without Jesus Christ? Am I not speaking to some here today? And while you have been very active pursuing worldly affairs, you have done nothing about the welfare of your soul. Maybe I am speaking here to someone, and for years you have sat under the sound of the gospel, but to this very moment you have done absolutely nothing to secure the salvation of your soul. It is as if you have been asleep. You have done nothing. You have been inactive. Your life has been marked by spiritual inactivity. Done nothing. Been asleep spiritually all these years. When we speak again of being asleep, we are also in a state of ignorance. When we are asleep, we are incognizant. We lack knowledge of what's going on around us, don't we? Asleep, we are ignorant of the reality of what is happening all around us and what is our true circumstances. Sometimes we make a joke about someone and they sleep so deeply that we say the house could fall down around them and they wouldn't know it. Well, that has actually literally happened. I am aware of a person outside whose home there was a gas explosion and it blew out the front wall of their home, and they were left sleeping there in their bed upstairs. The whole wall just collapsed and they didn't even know it until the fire brigade came and awoke them and got them out of their bed. Yes, it reminds us of when we are asleep, we are ignorant of our true situation. We are divorced from reality. When we are asleep, we are ignorant. Yes, ignorant of the reality of our situation. And again, is that not a picture of you, sinner? Was that not your former state, child of God? Are you not asleep to the grave danger that your soul is in, even this very day? Are you not like Sisera? You remember the story of Sisera, who was asleep in the tent of jail, and she came there with that tent peg and with a hammer, and she placed that tent peg over his temples and with a hammer drove it through his skull. He thought he was secure. He thought he was in a place of safety. He thought nothing was going to trouble him. But while he slept, he was taken out into God's eternity. I don't meet the judgment of God. But asleep, he was ignorant of all that was going on around him. And is that not a picture of some here this day? You are oblivious to that danger, that spiritual danger that is right before you. When we are asleep, we are also in a state of insensibility. In other words, when we are in a deep sleep, and I know there are various stages to sleep, but when we are in the deepest stage of sleep, we become insensitive to others, and we cannot respond. We're in that state where we have not that ability to respond. People could speak to you, they could say all sorts of things about you, you know, and you wouldn't know it. And you wouldn't react to it. Because you're insensitive. You can't respond. And again, is that not like your spiritual condition, sinner? Have you not heard the remonstrations of God to your soul? Have you not heard God expressly through His Word and through His servants speak to you and express objection to how you are living and to that course that you are traveling on, but you have not responded to those remonstrations? When the Lord has said, "Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate," it's if you have been asleep and the words have never, ever entered your soul. Have you not heard the invitations of God? Have you not heard, and I am sure and absolutely sure that from our brethren here, you have heard those sweet invitations of God and the gospel coming to you, but you have not responded to those invitations. When the Lord in His goodness has said to you, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," you have not responded. You have been totally insensitive. Aye, you've heard the word, but have had no impact. It's as if you've been asleep. Have you not heard the admonitions of God? Has God not come to you in mercy and warned you? Has He not warned you? Yes, He has. What have you done with those warnings? "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." You've been insensitive to them. They've had no impact upon you. You've never responded to those faithful warnings from God and from His servants. Have you not heard the exhortations of God? Yes, you have. "Repent ye and believe the gospel." And what have you done? You've done nothing. It's as if you haven't heard them, as if you have been asleep all the time. And maybe you've sat here and you've never literally fallen asleep in the service, but spiritually, those words in the gospel which have come to you have had no impact on you. It's as if you have been, it is, spiritually speaking, because you have been asleep. So there is in this text the declaration that sinners are asleep. Let us not sleep as do others. I wonder, am I speaking to a sinner here today, and that is your state? Yes, you hear my words. But spiritually, your soul, in this sense, is asleep. But then I want you also to note with me this morning the exhortation that saints should not sleep. We have considered the dangers of the sinner who is asleep, but then Paul exhorts here in this text the saints of God that they must not fall asleep, but that they must be ever alert and awake to the spiritual significance of the age and of the circumstances in which they find themselves. Paul warns believers here that we must not fall asleep. There is a danger awaiting the Christian, and indeed the church, if they fall asleep. That is what our Savior taught, was it not, when He spoke about the five wise and the five foolish virgins? We oftentimes are more likely to give emphasis to the five foolish virgins who were unprepared and not ready for the return of the bridegroom, but we must not overlook the fact that the Bible tells us in Matthew 25 and verse 5, "While the bridegroom slept, they all slumbered and slept." They all slumbered and slept. Yes, the five who were wise had fallen asleep. There is a danger of the Christian falling asleep. Even the wise, I want you to note, were ignorant of the significance of the hour. It's important, you know, I believe that God's people can, through the reading of the Scriptures, discern the time, the age, the spiritual state and conditions of the day in which we are living. Then in the next chapter of Matthew chapter 26, our Lord also speaks to us of Christians, of believers, in fact, of some of the very best of believers who had fallen asleep when they ought to have been awake and alert and active in the cause and service of God. Matthew chapter 26, I'll just highlight perhaps from verse 38, or highlight the verse 38. You're more than familiar with this, I'm sure. But the verse 26 of verse 38 of Matthew 26 reads, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Don't fall asleep. Realize the significance of the hour. And what a significant time and hour this was. And what do we find? We find that despite getting that exhortation not to sleep, they fell asleep. What, says verse 40, the Lord in verse 40, "Could ye not watch with me 1 hour?" The verse commences with the words, "And he cometh to the disciples and findeth them asleep." And you go down these verses, verse 40, 41, 43, 45, you find the disciples again sleeping. What ignorance of the hour. What inactivity. A time when they ought to have been praying. A time when they ought to have been awake and alert and active, and they are asleep. At this most significant moment in the life of our Savior, they are asleep. Our Lord, earlier in Matthew's Gospel, in the chapter 13, that great chapter of the parables, in Matthew 13, and let me just start from the verse 24. Again, a familiar portion, but let me read these verses to you. Matthew 13 and verse 24. "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." The enemy came in, did his evil work, and departed, and nobody knew about it. Why? Why such success? Because men slept. While men slept. Oh, the dangers of a sleeping church. Oh, the dangers when God's people are not awake and alert to the threats of the enemies of the gospel. And I fear that there are many churches today throughout our world, and they have, as far as being aware and alert to the dangers of the enemy coming even in among them, they are asleep. Oh, may God keep us awake so that the church is kept from error and the evil one is kept without. Let me finish by saying to you that it is natural to sleep when it's dark. The majority of us do are sleeping when it's dark. And you know there's a reason why we sleep at night. Darkness triggers the brain to release certain chemicals that assist us in sleeping. That's why, for example, it's easier to fall asleep in a darkened room. Recent research, some of you may have come across it, recent research has shown that some people today, or more people today, are having difficulty falling asleep or getting off to sleep quickly because of the use of laptops and computer screens and tablets and telephones, where they emit blue light, a certain frequency of light. And that blue light tricks the brain into thinking, well, it's still in the middle of the day. The sun is shining. And it stops the brain from triggering the release of those chemicals that begin to allow us to fall asleep. So we sleep easily and naturally when it's dark. Note that when darkness descends, it triggers sleep. And the period before the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the Bible teaches, is going to be a dark day. Going to be a dark day, an evil day, a wicked day. And therefore, or hence, in the light of that, this exhortation from the Apostle Paul is all the more relevant. Because there is danger of the Christian falling asleep when there is darkness all around us. And I'm speaking, of course, spiritually. And when you look at this text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6, you will see that it is set in the context of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see that very clearly from the opening verses which we read, 1 through to 4. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. The ungodly world is asleep. They don't recognize and realize the significance of the hour and of the great events that are going to unfold. But the Christian is not to be asleep. For when they shall say, note, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, there's the contrast, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye, are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. As spiritual darkness descends, Christian, let us endeavor by the help of God and by the light of His Word to live in that light and not let the darkness send us to sleep. The context, you know, of the sleeping virgins, which I mentioned earlier, is in relation to the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's that thought there also. And when was it? It was at midnight, when darkness was there, when darkness was prevailing. They slept. Even the parable of the wheat and the tares is connected with our Lord's return and the harvest at the end of the world. O sinner, may the word of God this day awaken you to your danger. May God this very day, by the light of His word, shine into your dark soul and awaken it. And arouse you, even now, that you might realize, I have been sleeping all these years. I haven't recognized it. But oh, may God awaken you and save you. O saint of God, I pray that this truth will keep us all from sleeping, that it will keep us awake, that it will make us aware and alert and active, even as the darkness deepens. Sometimes we have to battle with sleep just to keep awake. May God help us as His people and as His church. Not to fall asleep. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. May God bless His truth to us. For Jesus' sake. Amen.